yes, yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. It expands. It's the secret to manifesting what it is you want in your life. I like to open up each show, each message with that because it's a central mantra to my life, that what you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. Those things that you want that you don't have, it's because you don't think about them and you ain't focused on them. Simple as that, man. We've been moving through the book, The Science of Getting Rich, and sometimes I get off topic. Sometimes I record where I just talk and chat, but digging back into the book, I was rereading chapter 13 this morning. One of the awesome things about this book is it's only 17 chapters and every one of them are a gold mine. Now, you may find it a little awkward to read. Remember, this book was written in the turn of the century, 1905, by a young man named Wallace Wattles. The funny thing about Wallace, he was definitely a contradiction. He was a socialist, and yet he preached capitalism. I kind of think he did that to get onto the party ticket. I have a friend who ran as a Democrat who's actually a Republican just because that was the only way to get on the ballot in his area. So who knows? And also, you know, if you look back in time, the terms liberal and Democrat and all these things, the terms can change meaning. So I don't know what that's about. It's fascinating. But he's definitely an entrepreneur. He's definitely a merchant of capitalism, a preacher of plenty, you might say. And that's the point of this podcast. This is the point of my talks, is I want to be a good news merchant, a preacher of plenty, of prosperity and abundance. I'm trying to preach and teach and manifest the things that I want in my own life. I teach about things that I don't even have because I want to have them. And the quickest way to learn it is to begin to teach about it and read about it and study about it. Because what you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. One of my goals, one of my dreams, and I did a post just the other day on Instagram where I talked about the difference between a dream and a goal. See, a goal is you can actually create action steps. You actually have a plan. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. That's a goal. A dream is just something you think about. Now, you should have dreams, and dreams become goals, but dreams become goals once you put together a plan, right? And so I've often used the illustration, if you wanted to open a restaurant, you should begin to hold a vision of that restaurant. You should begin to create a book of business, you might call it, about your restaurant. You should give the restaurant a name. You should begin to research where you would buy the tablecloths and where would you buy the silverware and where would you get the food? Where would you get the ingredients? Would you call Cisco? What companies deliver this and how does it? And you begin to put these pieces together. See, that's the difference between a dream and making a dream a goal. You begin to fill in the blanks. See, the funny thing about that is that as you begin to build that book, the universe, the way it operates, you're going to bump into somebody who has money, who's always wanted to invest in a restaurant, but just doesn't have time or can't see all the little moving parts. And then you pull out your book that has the entire thing. And they go, wow, you've looked at everything. And you have it all planned out. See, that's how a dream manifests itself in the physical world and becomes a goal as you begin to work on it. One of my goals is to own 25 houses. And to rent these 25 houses to renters who would appreciate living in my home, who want to live there for a long time. People, for whatever reason, who are good, honest, hardworking people, but can't afford to buy a house of their own, and that I would provide them for that. That I would take on the responsibility. I would fix it up. I would make it nice. And in exchange, I would give them something that they couldn't provide themselves. They couldn't buy for themselves. And then I would be responsible for the roof leaks and for the water leader strips and this plumbing. And in exchange, they would make me wealthy. It's one of my goals. And every day I set about trying to make this goal become a reality the best I can. It can be frustrating pursuing a goal because not every day feels like you're getting there. Some days maybe you feel like you're going backwards a little, but that's okay. Science of Getting Rich says that when we're in those situations, and you're going to see that in this chapter, what to do. And it's to hold that vision. Let me jump right to that. He ends this chapter with, whenever you find yourself hurrying,
Call a halt. Fix your attention on the mental image of the thing you want and begin to give thanks that you're getting it. This exercise of gratitude will never fail to strengthen your faith and renew your purpose. In other words, what you think about comes about and what you focus on grows. Grab it back. Grab that vision back. Take control. Stop those thoughts and those forces and all that crap that's coming at you right now and hold it. Just sit with it. Sit with that vision, whatever it is. Be thankful knowing you're going to get it. Call it positive thinking. Call it faith. Call it hocus pocus. Call it bullshit if you want. But it has power. Faith, vision, and hope give people power. People can board airplanes and blow themselves up because they have power. Something doesn't actually have to be true to empower you. You understand that, right? Something doesn't actually have to be true to give you power. Now, the beautiful thing about that is that you can create your own truth. You can actually create your own truth. It's a beautiful thing. Chapter 13, Wallace is talking about this idea of getting into the right business. So you can say all day, oh, I want to get rich, I want to build wealth. And yet if you work for minimum wage, that's going to be very difficult. Now, I wouldn't say impossible. But it's going to take you a long time. And so we need to be in the right platform. If you're a young man and you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, and you're saying, hey, I want to make some real money. Well, you're not going to do it as a barista. You're not going to do it working at Subway. You've got to find a platform that will allow you to make some money. Now, the most obvious one is you need to get into sales because sales has an unlimited upside. You can do more, you know, create more sales for the company and they'll pay you more money. That's one way. Or to find a job that pays really well, live below your means and invest. That's what I've always done. I had a super simple formula, man. Nothing magical to it. Make as much money as you can, work as hard as you can, live well below your means, take the difference and invest it. That is not a complicated formula. Now, I had to do that formula. And then I began to create side businesses that would allow me to generate profits. Jim Rohn is famous for saying, wages are fine, wages are honorable, and wages will pay your bills and take care of your family. But profits are what make you rich. And so I had to find a way to do both. I had to work to pay the bills, and on the side, I needed profits. And that's how I got involved in network marketing, was the easiest way. It's not because I love the business. I don't love going around trying to recruit people. Now, the way that I solve that problem for myself is I don't recruit friends or family. So if I know you, I will never speak to you about my business. And I've even had friends say, hey, man, what are you doing? Let me get in on that. No. For this business here, I don't do business with friends and family. I don't do business with anybody I don't feel uncomfortable just hanging up on them because I don't want to talk to them anymore. Make sense? My father-in-law taught me years ago, don't be partners with people you can't sue. Because you don't actually have a partnership. That kind of makes sense. So I don't rent my rental properties to family members. I don't rent to friends. And I don't do business. Now, I know you can. It's a personal code of mine, or, you know, ethics or whatever you want to call it. It's something that I live by. I just don't do it. Why? This allows me to market freely. I can just speak my mind. I can come on here and record because honestly, none of my friends or family listen to this. They don't give a shit what I'm saying. You know, I've become one of the richest people in my circle of my friends and family, and they don't care what I have to say. I've written 5 books and a friend or family's never read one of them. It's always strangers. Even Jesus had to take, not to compare myself, but even Jesus had to take his ministry to strangers. And you most likely will also too. Friends and family around you are not going to buy into your dream. They're going to be the one. And it's not because they don't like you. They're trying to protect you. So when you say, I want to be a great trader, I want to be a great investor, I want to build this business, I want to do this, your friends, your mom, your friend, they're going to say, hey man, slow down. Be careful. Don't get hurt. Why? You know, because that's how they've lived their life the whole time. But because they've seen people step out who fail. But the truth is, you're probably going to fail. You know, go back and look and read some autobiographies of some of the greatest people. You're going to see failure upon failure upon failure. I've had 5 websites that I spent thousands of dollars on that didn't do nothing. And I had one that did $7 million in sales. See? See how that works? I've joined over 50 network marketing programs. 3 made me money. 1 made me a lot of money. That's a lot of failure, right? Now, you don't have to fail to succeed, but it's just part of the course. If you play golf, you're going to do a lot of bad shots. If you play the guitar, you're going to hit a lot of wrong notes. Now, as much as I talk about this, and as much as I teach this, and as much as I put this in my books, people will still come into my business 60 days in and go, hey, man, where's the payoff? It's just, and it's never going to change. It used to drive me crazy. Now I don't even notice it. I can't fix it. Success in any particular business depends for one thing upon your possessing a well-developed state for the faculties required in that business. Without good musical faculties, how can one succeed as a teacher of music? Without well-developed mechanical faculties, one can never achieve success in any mechanical trades. Without tact and the commercial faculties, no one can succeed as mercantile pursuits. Remember, the book was written a long time ago. But to possess a well-developed state, the faculties required in your particular business, particular vocation, does not ensure getting rich. There are musicians with remarkable talent who yet remain poor. There are blacksmiths, carpenters, and so on who have excellent mechanical abilities but do not get rich. Now, this is as true as can be. Some of the smartest people I know in my own, I have 2 people in my family who I believe are probably geniuses. When I say that, I'm not saying that lightly. I mean, their IQ is off the freaking charts. They don't need to know something to know it. You could just show it to them one time, they know it. You could show them an algorithm formula and they can redo it again. I cannot do that. If I was to be fair with you, I am probably borderline dumbass. And when I say that, I know people go, that can't be true. Listen. Everything I do is so simple. I do it as simple as possible. There's nothing fancy, nothing. And in every area that I've had some success, the only reason I had success is I just do it every day upon every day. And over a period of time, 7, 10 years, it looks like I'm successful. But it's just from compounding the process day after day after day. Now, some would say that is success, and okay. But in all of these ventures that I've done, there's people that when I look, I'm like, oh my God, doing the same thing I did, this guy became a billionaire, and I didn't. And so it's hard for me to say, well, I have some talent, or I did well, I was successful, because it's just not true. It's just daily grinding it out. I just followed some basic principles. I applied them in my life. I don't have a college degree. I don't have a certification. I'm not qualified to do anything. I just began to take this book, The Science of Getting Rich, and just say, listen, I'm just going to apply this stuff to my life. I'm just going to walk as if and talk as though. I'm just going to pretend it's true. It may not be true, but I'm going to pretend it. I'd heard a speech once by Oprah Winfrey, and she said, you create your own truth. Whatever you absolutely believe will empower you. It doesn't have to be right, doesn't have to be wrong, but it's true. And so I just decided, okay, I have no other choice. And I just began to believe my own BS, you know? And so I began to make businesses and companies and do things and just believe that I could do it, even though I have no clue. I had no clue how to get involved in real estate, you know? Now I make 6 figures a year on the side from real estate. And I just did it super simple. I didn't study market cycles. I had no clue about interest rates, none of that crap, none of these things that I see people talking about, that the smart guys talk about. I didn't know any of that. Here's what I knew. I had saved up $14,000. I looked around on the MLS. I didn't know any realtors. I didn't have any quote team, any of these things the books teach you to do. I didn't have any of that stuff. I didn't even know my credit score. This is before, well, not before, the internet was just going. I just found a property that would be about my down payment. That was simple. I put in there, here's my price that I can go up to. I knew I needed to put down 20%. I read that. So you need to put down 20% so you don't pay PMI, which is insurance for the bank. So I needed 20%. So I knew what my price was. $74,000. That's all I could go. Now remember, this is 20 years ago. So I put in a filter, and every house that was $74,000 and less came up on a list. And I went down the list and scratched off the ones there was no way in hell I was buying that house because of the neighborhood it was in. It left me with three properties. I called the realtor on the first one. What's funny is this realtor went on to sell me over 10 houses. I called the realtor on the first one and said, hey, I want to look at a house. I need to buy a house. This was it. This is how simple it was. And we went and looked at three, and I picked one. I didn't evaluate, is this a deal? Am I getting somewhere? I didn't do any of that stuff. I just bought it. And then I went about spending the next few months fixing it. I didn't know how to paint. I don't know the difference between latex paint and semi-glossy paint. Like, I had to go read that. I'm literally at Home Depot reading this shit on the shelf. Now, with all of that said, do you think that realtor knew more about real estate than me? Of course. Do you think the employee at Home Depot working in the paint department knew more about paint than me? Of course. Do you think the banker that I sat down with to partner with to borrow money from, who was going to basically invest in me by giving me the other 80%, do you think they knew more about interest rates and investing than me? Of course they did. Everyone involved in this process knew more than me. And yet I became a multimillionaire and they didn't. None of the people I just mentioned there didn't. I don't know what happened to the Home Depot employee, but strong possibility they didn't. I know my banker. She still has the same job. She's still financing me houses. You think after financing me over a dozen houses, they'd go, man, I should do what he's doing. But they don't. The realtor that sold me houses after house, year after year after year, she's still a realtor and doesn't own any properties. I make more in rent collection doing nothing than she does working. She knows more about real estate than I do. So is there anything genius about what I did? No. I still do it the same way. I don't look at business cycles. I don't sit around studying all these things. I just don't. I just save up money. I look and where's a house in this budget? And I go buy a house. And I force it. We're buying a house because I have the money. It's that simple. I invest in the stock market the exact same way. I save the money, I put the money in, I find what's on sale, and I buy it. I don't care if we're going into a bear market, I don't care if we're crashing, I don't care if China's about to drop a nuclear bomb, I don't care who the president is. I don't think about any of these things. Now, in retrospect, as I study successful people, I see people who figure these things out. And through their own wit and through their own intelligence and through their own ability to scheme, and I don't mean scheme in a bad way, but to think and scheme and contemplate, they're able to maneuver and build great fortunes. Awesome. But these are outliers, man. These are outliers. That's not me. I was born in a trailer park. I was raised in a trailer park in Arkansas. I have no college, I have no certificates, no qualifications to do anything. I just had to create my own truth, and I began to apply the principles in this book, these 17 chapters. And I began to believe, and I began to think the universe, because sometimes I don't know if I believe in God. I began to think the universe, whoever's listening, thank you for the vision that I hold, because I believe it'll come true. My vision was simple. I wanted to acquire 25 homes. I wanted to have my own business. And I wanted to accumulate $1 million in stocks. That's it. That's all I'm asking for. And I'm going to live each and every day to accomplish these three things. And I'm going to do these things with integrity, with honesty, without lying or ripping people off. And I'm going to push forward and move forward. And that is my goal. And I give thanks that every day I get to wake up and pursue that goal. That's it, man. That's the vision. You can get rich in any business, for if you have not the right talent, you can develop the talent. It merely means that you will have to make your tools as you go along. meaning you can develop talent for any business. The chapter goes on to say that you're going to be most suited to do a business that comes easy and naturally to you. Why? Now, I think the reason for this is you don't have to spend a lot of time trying to learn the business, and you can focus your time on how to maximize the business and do it in such a way as to get rich. Farmers can be rich. School teachers can become rich. The person that put me on the path to get involved in real estate, while it was a friend, and I've said this many times on this podcast, it was a guy who was the most successful man I'd ever met. You know, I'm 20 something years old. I'm 28, 29. I had saved, remember, I had about 14 grand in the bank, and I vacationed with my wife's best friend and her husband. I'd never met them. And I was showing him what I was doing on the internet, and I had a little lawn business going. I had a little internet business going, and I was working as a part-time prison guard. And he's an entrepreneur, and so he's like, "Oh, that's cool, man. It's cool how you can make money from home without." He had 100 employees, so he thought it was neat to make money without employees. And he's kind of all digging into my business, and he hands me a book, and he says, "Read this." And it was about a school teacher who had acquired over 50 properties. That when the school teacher passed away, he was worth like $50 million, but he never made over like $30,000 in his life. I was shocked. I'd never heard of such a thing. And while, you know, 50 seemed absurd to me, now granted, this guy was buying houses when they were $4,000, but I was like, wow. And I just did the math, and I was like, wow, if I just bought 10 houses and just held them in 30 years, they would all be paid for. And to show you how simple my math was, I'm thinking, well, I'll be a millionaire if each house was $100,000. But it didn't occur to me that through inflation, the houses would rise, the rents would rise, and that I would actually not be a millionaire. I'd probably actually be like worth $5 million. And so I thought, well, if I can just simply accumulate 10 properties, boom, I'm done. I'm a millionaire. And I'm like, holy shit. This is so simple. Why didn't anyone ever just show this to me on a piece of paper in high school? And they never did. No one ever just showed me on a piece of paper, hey, dummy, save up a down payment 20 times or 10 times. You're a multimillionaire. Then it's just a matter of waiting. Blew my mind. And so I began to follow that process. And then I met other people and I read other books and I got into other things. And I just began to continuously grow. Let me show you this one. This chapter's basically pretty simple. He's saying, look, pick a business that you're already naturally inclined to. You don't have to do that. If you have a strong desire to do something else, that desire is the universe. That is evidence that you should be doing it. The fact that you desire to do that business is evidence that you should be doing that business. Now you just need to get the tools to work it, to do the business. Let's see. I wanted to read this one little part to you, and we'll wrap it up. Don't just jump ship. You shouldn't do that. Transition should be smooth. But if an opportunity presents itself, you should do it. It's just common sense, right? Do all that you can in a perfect manner every day, but do it without haste or worry or fear. Go as fast as you can, but never hurry. It says, remember, the moment you begin to hurry, you cease to be a creator and you become a competitor, and you drop back to the old plane again. Now, what he's talking about there, go back in previous chapters, that we're never in competition, that there's plenty enough for everyone, and that in order to prosper, you have to remain on the creative plane. I try to teach this in my business. People come into my business, direct mail, network marketing, and they bring no creativity whatsoever. They create nothing, they impart nothing, they share nothing, they teach nothing, and then they're really surprised that they made nothing. And yet I tell them all the time, read this book. It doesn't matter how old you are. Read this book. Read this book. And you will understand how I'm thinking. You'll understand how my system works and how better to partner with me and how better to do it. But it's hard to get people to read a book. I've given away over 700 copies of this, and I've never had anyone write me and say I read it. So, you know, I don't know, man. Ugh. Unfortunately, I can't find this part I was going to show you, but it makes sense, right? Pick a business that you think you have some natural talent in, but talent alone doesn't work. I recently had dealings with a carpenter who built me some beautiful cabinets. The experience was horrible. I'll never use him again, and yet he's very talented. And so there's a guy who will never get rich, and He's 60-something years old. He's a drunk, and yet he has wonderful talents. And here again, I meet a person who can do something that I can't do on real estate, and yet I'm worth more money than they are. Why? Because I did things in a certain way. The book here talks about doing things in a certain way. You don't need to be the fastest. You don't need to be the strongest. You don't need to have the most talent. It's a beautiful thing, right? Acting in a certain way. You know, using each day to move forward, to accomplish that goal, what it is you're going, not a dream, but a goal that you actually have action plan, using efficient action, each day moving forward, pushing forward to that ultimate goal. And then when you get bogged down, and times will come, you'll get bogged down, and you feel rushed, you feel hurried, just stop. The book teaches us just stop, just halt, and get that vision again. Get that big picture, get clear on what it is you're trying to accomplish, what it is you're trying to achieve, and hold it. Give gratitude that you're gonna pursue it, that you're gonna get it, and then get back to work. Hey, if you could subscribe on iTunes. I don't know if you listen on Podbean. If you have iTunes on your phone or Android, if you subscribe on there, if you could leave me a review, that would be great. And I'll continue to try to work on the show, and I'm kind of working out possibly bringing on some people we can interview. That'd be super cool. But if you could leave me a review, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.